NHL training camps. Then the Hub Cities, July 26th, and then drop the puck on August the 1st. We wait to see what's going to happen between now and then as far as players potentially dropping out. They have the opportunity. I think it's Monday at 5 o'clock is the deadline for players to say that they aren't going to participate. We've seen that in all the other sports so far, that in some cases a handful, in some cases more than a handful. If you're the New Jersey Nets, do you have any players that are going to actually be playing? Will we see any of that in the NHL? So far, I don't think one person has said so. To talk all things hockey, we welcome to the show a contributor to TSN 1200 and The Athletic. We say good morning to Chris Stevenson. How are you this morning, CJ?
Boys, I'm good. Great to talk to you. It's been a while.
Long time no chat. How is the last time I saw Chris Stevenson on social media had the epic beard going? How is the beard game right now?
I guess, in, for lack of a better word, it's a little more epicer.
Okay.
it's still going. I haven't. Everybody was like, "Oh man, you're going to be so hot in the summertime." Well, been out to play golf a couple of times, to tell you the truth, but I haven't found any difference between clean shaven and having the big beard going. So I don't see any reason to keep going. Now, before we get started here, can I throw a wrench?
Yeah, absolutely. That's you're more than welcome to go do it.
Rajon Rondo of the Los Angeles Lakers. Did you guys see this yesterday on Instagram?
Yeah.
About him complaining about the room. He posted a picture of his accommodations in Orlando for the NBA restart. And it looks like a decent room. It looks like a king-size bed, which you'd expect those guys to get. And he basically said, Motel 6, huh? at NBA. Come on.
Here's your wrench.
But CJ, that's been him since his days with the Celtics, right? The talent was there, but I guess, what do you want to say? Some of the tools maybe missing,
All the tools and no toolbox.
Oh, man, he has always been. When he first came in, I thought, this guy's going to be a star. Then he started to see some of this, and I guess we'll see what old LeBron has to say about it as well.
Yeah, we'll call him a knucklehead. How's that sound?
For sure.
Yeah, here's your wrench. Yeah. All right. Anyway,
funny. Just another quick little aside, because then that led to an exchange with Brad Fritch, of course, the pro golfer from Manitic, who now lives down in the States. But I can remember covering it, and I want to say it was 2012, the Tour Championship for the Web.com Tour, when Fritch was there and he was trying to improve his status. He had already earned his card that year, and he was trying to move up and improve his status. And Adam Hadwin was there, who had no PGA Tour status and was trying to get in. They roomed together that week. I ended up hanging out quite a bit with them. They roomed together that week in a room that cost $39.
A little budgeting.
And they were splitting it. Yeah.
There you go. Life in the minor golf leagues, right? Back in the Adam Hadwin not really having to do that anymore.
I don't think so.
No, having a hell of a start to the tournament this weekend as well. Hey, speaking of golf, I did see that you and our old colleague Terry Marcotte were playing golf. Was it yesterday or Wednesday down in Smith Falls? What's going on with Brooke Henderson these days? Is she hanging around Smith Falls? Is she down in Florida, or what's going on?
As far as I know, she's in Florida. I messaged with her a little bit at the beginning of the week, just to check in and see how she was doing, how the family was doing, and everything seemed like it was good. She's looking forward to a return to play. The LPGA cranks up again at the end of the month. So, I'm sure knowing Brooke and anybody who's followed her career knows how often she is in she had been playing. She was one of the busiest players on the LPGA Tour since she got her full-time status. So I'm sure she'll be out there and looking to play in every event that's available.
Does she have, is she and Brittany have a, like a full-time, I'd say they bought a place, but a full-time a place in Florida where they hunker down?
Yeah. Brooke bought a condo in Naples.
Okay.
I want to say a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So they have a home base in Florida next to a golf course where she can, where her usual plan was she would come back home for Christmas to Smith Falls and spend most of the, I'm sure people remember she would be at Senators games a few times in December. She'd come home for Christmas and then they'd go back down to Florida in January for a training camp to get ready for the start of the, of the LPGA Tour, which is, you know, usually the third week of January in Florida. So that's been our plan the last few years.
Naples, nice spot in the world. Well, we brought you on to talk a little bit of hockey, and I'm sure you have been keenly interested, as everybody has, in watching them roll out the plan, and now a new CBA announced earlier this week, and we're going to see training camp start on Monday and then flying to Toronto and Edmonton. And what's been kind of your, as you watch this thing unfold as a whole, at how the NHL in particular has handled things, and what do you foresee going forward as we head toward the games facing off in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I haven't been a huge fan of the idea of the leagues trying to come back at this point. I just think with, and again, seeing what's happening in the States right now with the tremendous spike in the number of cases, you know, I just didn't know if the timing was right to do this in the big scheme of things. But given that, you know, they seem hell-bent on doing this, I've been really impressed going through the document that the NHL put out with the amount of detail that that they put into this thing. And you know, I think the league has done, and the clubs has done a really, really good job of trying to come up with a plan that gives them the best chance of having this succeed and for them to get to a Stanley Cup final. So, you know, I guess the thing that we're all anticipating is, you know, how well, I'm not so worried so much about the NHL, and I'm not even sure why. It's just kind of like a gut feeling that I think the NHL players are going to be quite dedicated to the plan. I'm not so sure about that for Major League Baseball or the NBA. And maybe it's just that hockey mentality, that group herd mentality that we're used to among hockey players, that there's going to be a lot of peer pressure to stick to the plan and not get yourselves into trouble. But you know, I think like everybody, I wait to see what the reaction is going to be, how they are going to handle the possibility of positive tests. And let's face it, there are going to be positive tests. There have been already, and there's going to be more. I guess you wait to see what the extent of them are going to be. And I mean, I'm looking at this across the sports landscape, not just the NHL. But, you know, how are they going to handle a spike within their own little bubble of positive tests? And what's the impact is that going to be? Have they come up with a number in terms of, you know, this is where we draw the line and a team's going to have to withdraw from the competition if it comes to that? So, you know, I guess apart from the actual on-ice, on-field competition itself, I guess that's the thing that I'm kind of waiting with bated breath to see how that unfolds.
CJ, how impressed are you under tough circumstances that the NHL and the NHLPA got together and worked out a six-year CBA that seemed where, hey, common sense prevailed?
I guess the way that I would frame that is it took a once in a century happening, which is a pandemic, to make a once in a century happening, which is a new CBA with no lockout to happen. I think going back to the Rajon Rondo thing, I think the last thing fans want to hear right now, and certainly it was the case as the baseball negotiation was going on, the last thing fans want to hear right now is players bitching and owners bitching about money and how much they're making and how much they're splitting up. It's still in the billions of dollars. And, you know, I think in this instance, the NHL finally really got it right in being able to put this whole return to play package twinned with a new CBA, which guarantees, I guess, six more years of labor peace. You know, I think that's what fans wanted to hear was, we're having to wait to get NHL hockey back now this summer, but now we can look forward to, you know, one of the long, well, geez, it feels like certainly since I've been covering the National Hockey League, what's going to be the longest period of labor peace that we've seen. Cause we were usually good for some kind of labor stoppage. I think about the strike in the early 90s and then the lockout in 94, it was like every 8 to 10 years, we were guaranteed some kind of work stoppage and missing a season or half a season. So I am impressed that they managed to get this done. It's interesting that it took the circumstances, the unprecedented circumstances that we're in, to make it happen.
Talking to CJ Stevenson, a contributor to TSN 1200 and The Athletic. So using yourself as an example, CJ, what do you think is going to be the appetite for these upcoming hockey playoffs in terms of people's interest, people watching? Is it going to be off the charts? Is it going to be maybe lesser than we anticipate? Is it TBD? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really anticipating it because we've never seen anything like this before when it comes to this. I'll use air quotes, the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've never seen this circumstance before. Everybody's healthy. You know, getting away from all the pandemic stuff and the bubble and all that, just looking at it from the level of the competition. Usually when you get to April and teams are going into the playoffs, you know, you're looking at, you know, how many guys are banged up. Every team's got some kind of injuries, and guys are banged up after a long season. And now in this instance, everybody's going to be, you know, except for those, you know, couple of teams that might have a couple of guys on with long-term injuries, everybody's going to be healthy. It's going to be interesting. We're going to find out quickly, I think, how many guys spent the 3 months that they've been off, you know, sticking to some kind of training regimen and being in shape. I think that's going to become evident pretty quickly. The other thing I'm interested to see is, like, again, everything is completely, you know, off the board. Is this going to, I heard you guys talking about it, and it's an intriguing question. Is this going to benefit a young team, guys with young legs? Is a veteran team now in these unprecedented circumstances and this completely new environment, is being a veteran and being able to cope with changing circumstances, is that going to give a team an advantage? As far as the interest goes, I'm really intrigued to see, you know, all those things I've just been talking about, now they're going to impact the tournament. But let's face it. I think in most cases, most fans are going to be rooting for their team, and it could be over in a week for a bunch of those teams, right? There's going to be 8 teams that are going to be done within the first week or so of the tournament. I don't know if those fans continue to be as engrossed in the unfolding of the tournament as they would be if their team was still involved. So there's so many variables, there's so many unknowns, and for that reason, normally, you know, when I was sitting and thinking about it, I was like, why the hell do I want to stay in on a beautiful day in July or August to watch games unfold? But I think I'll be doing that in the early going. I think everybody just wants to see what exactly is going to unfold.
Yeah, and CJ, I got no problem with night hockey, even if you're at a cottage or somewhere, we'll adjust. Now, you talked about Rondo, and I think this for the NHL. I know it's early on, you hear Bor Horvat, you see some of the practices. In a real tough time, something we've never seen in our lifetime, how important or how much of an advantage does the NHL have where it looks like the enthusiasm, the professionalism, and the buy-in of the athletes? I've got to think that gets a lot of people excited where, yeah. Hey, I'm already turned off of baseball. I really have no interest. In the NBA, I'm darn close.
Yeah, no, and that's why I said I think, you know, that hockey mentality simmer, the culture of the game, we've all grown up in it, and I think that's, you know, as I said earlier, I think that's what might be the thing that gives the NHL the best chance for success in this. Number one, I think they've come up with a really, really detailed plan. I think them seizing the opportunity to be able to have two Canadian cities where, you know, let's face it, Canada's been one of the leaders in terms of flattening the curve and creating an environment where, almost the best case scenario in a worst case scenario that we've been able to handle the circumstances of the virus, that the NHL has been able to come to two Canadian cities, I think, you know, helps them as well. But I think, like I said, I think that buy-in from the players, I think that peer pressure that exists, and sometimes it's negative. In this case, I think it's positive. That peer pressure that exists in hockey, I think, is going to be a real positive for for the National Hockey League and the chances that this they're actually going to be able to pull this off.
24 teams will start in about 3 weeks' time in very short order. That'll be down to 16 and 8 and 4. But for seven teams, there's nothing. And now the NHL announced earlier this week, CJ, that training camps for next season right now, and everything is fluid, are scheduled to begin on November 17th, which is pretty much 8 months to the day that things got shut down for the Ottawa Senators. What do you think is the right thing for the NHL to do as far as letting these seven teams kind of get together? Should they allow for training camps? Should there be like exhibition games between the teams, like, you know, in terms of player development, et cetera? What's the right thing to do?
I think there's going to be some lessons learned, JR, in the early going of this, in the early going of the, of this tournament, which, you know, will help them refine a plan, as they move forward. They're going to find the things that work really well and what don't. The reason I bring that up is I think on a smaller scale that individual teams might be able to take the plan that the NHL has for this tournament and use it in their own city in terms of a development camp, you know, and I think that would be of benefit, for these teams, and particularly for a team like the Ottawa Senators with so many great young prospects, to be able to have basically what comes down to a development camp or their own rookie tournament. Like, I just think trying to interact with other teams might be a bit much. There's going to be zero revenue from that, right? They wouldn't be able to have fans at the games at this point or anything like that. It would, so all the expense of maybe, you know, taking a bunch of teams to different cities with the rookies and have a little tournament would completely be borne by the teams. I'm not sure without the carrot of the TV deal and whatever revenue can be generated. I don't know if without that incentive, if that's a viable option for them, but I could certainly see teams on an individual basis bringing their players in and having some kind of in-house rookie tournament. But, you know, I think the teams that are in the tournament are getting a great opportunity to engage their fans again after basically 3 months of no fan engagement. And I think that would be a great thing for the teams that aren't in the tournament to be able to have some kind of an event that would allow them to engage their fans. So, you know, I don't think that's off the board. I think obviously the priority right now is getting both the RTP and the CBA ratified today. The Board of Governors have a vote this afternoon. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't go through. But I think once they get the tournament up and running, and I think they get the, you know, boots on the ground and get an opportunity to see, you know, what the you know, where the pitfalls are in this kind of plan with having everybody within a bubble, information that they can pass along to individual teams. I'd love to see a team like the Senators be able to have a rookie tournament and start getting information out and video out about the way that some of these prospects that everybody's so excited about are doing right now.
CJ, I have to think big picture if you're looking at it from what the expense would be. Now, if I had to put players on payroll that were pros, might be different, but let's just use in Canadian. If I'm Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Winnipeg, I would think as you get to the fall with that much time off that I would like to put something together, maybe Ottawa host a four-team tournament and go for a couple of weeks and get these guys some reps.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I mean, I think the, you know, I think once they get a feel for how this tournament unfolds, you know, and I think everybody's crossing their fingers that that everybody's going to stick to the plan and that things are going to go in the best possible way. And I think if that's the case, then I really think that that's something the league and the individual teams should consider. Like I said, I think particularly for a team like the Senators, which, you know, let's face it, is struggling to win back fans and get them back on their side and get them excited about this rebuild and the upcoming 5 years of unparalleled success, which I believe are scheduled to start next January.
COVID's slowed it down a bit, though. So.
Maybe we might have to give them a little bit of a break on a little bit of a break on that one.
But I think
if that NHL tournament gets going, Zimmer, and it comes off smoothly, I really do think that having some kind of rookie tournament, maybe in the fall, and when you think about when it's whittled down to just maybe four teams left, and the volume of games and that is has dwindled, the inventory of games has dwindled, then that might be a good time to for a team like the Senators to get themselves leverage their way into the conversation.
Well, and you'll have so many of these young players, CJ, that are American League guys. They'll probably never see any time in this, so they're going to sit idle, right, even if they're hanging around. And from Ottawa, when you look ahead to the draft, the number of picks, the 3 and the 5, we are talking about basically relaunching the brand. So that combined with some of the players in Belleville, I guess if you want to sell some tickets for the next season, that's probably your best chance.
Yeah, and I think I think people are excited already. I think with the success that Belleville had, and when you look at a player development standpoint, the Senators were probably the team that was the most impacted by the fact that the American Hockey League schedule, basically got canceled. I think everybody wanted to see those kids down in Belleville get that valuable experience of going on a nice playoff run, and have that help them like it helped a bunch of those players down in Bingo years ago when they won the Calder Cup. So I think anything that gets the players back out in front of people gets people looking at it on their phones, looking at it on their computers, is a good thing, and that's why I'll be really surprised if this return to play program comes off as well as can be expected for the NHL. I'll be really surprised if we don't see some kind of rookie tournament, or at least on an individual team basis, some kind of rookie tournament thing unfold. And that would be great for the Senators at this point.
All right, Prospector, time to go oil the beard. are you oiling that thing, or are you?
I am.
Yeah, okay.
I have been taking care of it. I'll post a picture at some point for your enjoyment.
All right, sounds good. Always good to catch up with you, CJ. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to it.
All right, thank you. There's